Thank you, ladies. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 17. Familiar passage. In fact, for a communion service, this is one that I tend to look at. But I want you to look at some things here tonight. Don't want to make this long. And, of course, we have communion at the end of the service here, but I'm just kind of aiming toward that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 17, this is an account of the last night of Jesus' life and the Lord's Supper. And it says, "Now in this that I declare unto you," of course this is Paul preaching at this point, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse." Now, of course, he's talking to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church had a lot of issues. Now, they weren't a church full of Jewish people. They were a church full of Gentiles. And the Gentiles tend to have been living in the lust of the flesh, if you will, and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes and all those kind of things. And so that was had just become kind of part of normal way of life. And so he says, now you're getting together for the Lord's Supper, like we're going to do here. But he says, when you go get together, it's not accomplishing what we wanted to accomplish. You got a lot of stuff going on here that we shouldn't have going on. He says, you get together, but be honest with you, I don't think you're doing yourself any good. In fact, I think you might be doing things to make things worse. Verse 18, "For first of all, when you come together in a church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." He says there's problems, causes some kind of divisions, you know, and contentions and so forth. They said, "Well," and I said, "Of course he's not right there watching, but he said he's hearing about this." He says, "Be honest with you, I kind of think that I'm going to have to believe it." Verse 19, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." He said, "Be honest with you, I think you guys are doing what you're not supposed to be doing. In fact, you're kind of propagating that. You're teaching people to do this." And of course, when he writes this, who's going to read this first? He didn't address this to a little girl who goes to the church. He addressed it to the pastor of that church, right? And so he's addressing. He said, now you got a church here. You got a church, a family, got a congregation. And he says, now, preacher, when you're getting your church together, it sounds like we're doing some things that I think are maybe causing you problems, not really helping you out. And you're doing something which you're supposed to do, have the Lord's Supper, but I'm not sure it's helping you. I think it's hurting you. And in fact, there's divisions among your people. And I don't think that's good. I believe it must be true. And he said, and for that to be happening, that means there must be some heresies. And I think in that term right there, he's simply saying, you're teaching some things you're not supposed to be teaching. You're teaching some ways, some principles, some ways, some habits that are not necessarily godly. And he says, I don't think we should be doing that. So he starts to instruct them in verse number 20. He says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone take before other his own supper, and one's hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise, or do you think little of the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? What shall I praise you for this? I praise you not. Now, what is he saying there? He's saying, when they come together to the Lord's Supper. Now, when they did the Lord's Supper, when Jesus did the Lord's Supper, they actually had supper that night. But when supper was over, then they did what they had to break the bread and so forth. They took, okay. So the point was they got together and had a meal together because that was Passover. But the Lord's Supper is not a whole meal. There's sometimes some people will say, will come in and they'll do the Seder and all this stuff and so forth and so on. And frankly, I'm not so sure we ought to even do that because that's not really part of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is this little thing we do here at the end. And he said, the fact is, you guys are having the Lord's Supper, and you've got people coming in with their coolers and their picnic baskets and everything else. You know what I mean. And having dinner. They're having a potluck, except the fact is, everybody's bringing their own potluck and not sharing with anybody else. And so, you know, it's like anything else. The pride of life comes into religion. It's amazing how that happens. Just like, we don't really see it as much as we used to, but it used to be, my mom talked about when she was back in the 60s, and when you went to the church, ladies, you wore a hat. And where she came from, you wore white gloves. And you wore your heels. I mean, you were decked out when you went to church. Now, when Easter came, nobody could see the preacher because of the hats. You know what I mean? That's what you did. And I hate to say it, but church became a show to kind of almost see who can dress best for Jesus. You see what I'm saying? And so these people were getting together for dinner, and the fact is, some of them coming in with some sandwiches and a bag of chips. But we got some people coming in here, they had a rack of ribs. You know what I mean? Some of them probably brought the grill out there and put some, and did some barbecue on the, and we all, you know, and so we're all getting together and have this thing, and it's almost like who has the best meal are obviously the most spiritual. He says, we're not accomplishing what we're trying to accomplish. Now watch me. He says, we're not here to eat. I mean, you got houses to eat in, don't you? He said, you know what? Some of you guys are bringing a big old bottle of wine and you're getting drunk. You sit there and sip it on that thing all evening. By the time you get to the Lord's Supper part there, you're already soused. So, shall I praise you for this? No. And then he explains. Look at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Now, I told you how to do, and I got that from the Lord. Now, what was that? That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He didn't say, this do to show your financial superiority. He didn't say, this do to show how spiritual you are. You know, listen, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. No one stands higher than the other. And no matter what your walk of life has been, or it will be, we're all sinners, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We had fishermen around the table. We had publicans around the table. We had all kinds of guys around the table. And he says to all of them, take, eat. This is my body broken for each of you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That's the purpose of the evening. To show the Lord's death. is not here to have a party. We're not here to show who's more spiritual or who has the most money or who's higher up in the echelons of society. It has nothing to do with us except we're the sinners who are receiving the good from what Christ did. We do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, that little bread, that little cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, not realizing what it is that we're doing here. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Who's he talking to? The church in Corinth. He says, this is a serious problem. So you need to think about what you all have been doing here. And he says, many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. In other words, he's saying we should judge ourselves so God doesn't have to. But the fact is, when we don't, we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord. We're condemned with the world. Because the world needs to know that we're not, listen, we can't get away with sin because we're saved. Let me say that again. We don't get away with sin just because we're saved. So God has to, just like he did with Moses. In fact, he was pickier with Moses than he was with the rest of the children. The children of Israel were doing all kinds of crazy things in the wilderness. And all Moses did was strike the rock. And he should have spoken to it. But to whom much is given, much is required. And he did it in front of everybody. He disobeyed. And God said, well, I'm sorry. Go up on the hill and look. I want you to see the promised land. It's a good place. But you're not going in. Oh, well, he was almost dead anyway. Well, no, he wasn't. The day he died, he walked up the hill by himself, and he was as strong as he was that day as the day when they entered the prom, as when they came out of Egypt. He was still strong. Being saved doesn't declare us free from the penalty. Verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Now, that word tarry gives the idea of wait, but you know, let's wait on each other. Let's kind of, you know, consider one another. It's not about us. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So this cup is the New Testament. The bread is his body broken. When you do it in remembrance of him. Let's pray, and I'm going to talk about remember me. Remember me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these truths. Thank you for a sweet time here. Thank you for the family of God. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the fellowship that we have here. The fellowship we have amongst each other, but frankly, the fellowship we have amongst ourselves in Christ. We come from all different walks of life. Our backgrounds are very, very, very different. We're all different ages, different interests, and yet in Christ we're one. One faith, one baptism, one Lord. And Lord, tonight, just make it a sweet time as we remember you. And let us not forget, let us not forget who you are and what you've done. Let's not despise the table, but make it a sweet time. We ask in Christ's name. I was reading through the Luke 22 a while back, and I came across a word that stood out to me. And Jesus, it was the cat of the Lord's Supper. And that word was the remember, was the word remember. Sometimes you see it in the Bible as remembrance. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, it says, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." There was something that Jesus wanted his disciples to remember. It is amazing how fast we can soon forget and get off the track after we get saved. It's amazing just how fast churches can get sidetracked even after a good solid beginning. And we can easily lose our moorings, our anchors, and drift into waters that we never intended to be in. We may have started out in the right harbor, but we slip down the coast and end up in an unfriendly waters or docked in the wrong bay. Many churches start off well and then eventually forget where they came from. They forget their purpose and forget where they're supposed to be headed. Every ministry of this church is for one thing: to bring Christ to the mindset and the heart of people. We have to remember what we're trying to do. There are some things that we need to remember and keep in our remembrance. Otherwise, we will allow the things of God to slip away. And if we allow ourselves to forget these essential things, the purpose of the church will change from beginning of remembrance of Jesus to a social club. Jesus has some things he wants us to remember. Now, of course, in our passage here, we'll get to it here at the end of the evening, he wants us to remember that he died for us. But you know what? To really have the impact of remembering that he died for us, I think we need to remember what he did for us, even before he died for us. Watch me. Let me do number one. In Matthew 16:9, we're going to be in the New Testament here. If you can find your way around, that would be good. In Matthew 16:9, number one, he says we need to remember his provision. Remember his provision. Matthew 16:9, Jesus is speaking, and the guys were getting off the deep end about some things and so forth. And he says, "Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets ye took up?" It's like, are we going to eat? What do we have to eat? We don't have anything to eat around here. And he says, whoa, don't you worry about what we're going to eat. Did you already forget I just fed 5,000 people, right? Just a few days ago? Did you forget that? And watch, it goes on. It says, "Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up." Listen, you fed 5,000, there was 12 baskets full left over. And he fed 4,000, there was like seven baskets left over, if I remember right. Let's just say this, we had plenty of leftovers. He says, "Do you not remember?" You know, when we remember what Jesus did on the cross, I really think we need to start with remembering what he's just done for us in our life. Have we forgotten that every good and precious, perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights? It is good to remember how God provides our daily needs. He tells us to pray, "Give us this day our..." You know what we think? Well, all we've got is enough for today. I wish God would take better care of us. Do you have enough for today? He's taking care of you. You know, listen, sometimes when he gives us too much, we've got to carry this stuff around. know what I mean? We got to carry the load of having all these things. All we need is what we need today. And again, as I've said often, you know, there's been times in our life we didn't know where the next meal was coming from. And if it takes this much provision to provide our needs, we want to live up here. But the fact is, we kind of live right here. But we watch God day by day by day provide our needs, and we appreciate it. But when He provides up here, we don't not living on the edge. And we don't really notice what God has done. We forget what God has done. Now, if you can get to the point where you never forget what God has done, then He can trust you to live up here. But if you keep forgetting what God has done and what He's doing, He kind of makes you live down here so you remember Him. Remember who it is that provides your needs. You rest in Him. He tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm just going to read it there for you real quick. In Matthew 6, it says in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, or what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Matthew 6, 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And who was he talking to in Corinthians? The Gentiles. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the days, for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Paul says, let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. When we see who died for us and we remember what He's done for us, I think we should also remember His provision, how He cares for that. That one who cares for us died for us. Let me give you number two. We need to remember His power. This one who died for us is powerful. He could have stopped it. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but He died alone for you and me. Mark 11 says, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, He came, if haply He might find anything thereon. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat of thee hereafter, forever. And His disciples heard it. Now the next day, Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto Him, Master, behold, a fig tree which thou cursest withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive Him, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. The verse was this, and Peter calling
to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. It's a wonderful thing to know that if we lack wisdom, we can ask of God who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. We need to remember that all power is given unto Jesus, and we can come to him, and if we ask in his will, he will give it to us. That's the one who died for us. All power and glory and majesty is his. We need to remember that. Number three, we need to remember his purity. In Luke 17, 32, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Now, do you remember Lot's wife? She looked back at Sodom as she was leaving, and I think she longed for it in her heart. And the angels was dragging Lot out, and Lot probably had a hold of her hand too. Come on, come on, come on. And she says, but my house is back there. I did all that decorating. We put that little garden in the backyard, and the people, he says, it's where we're not supposed to be. We got to leave. Now watch me. He says, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. We are to be holy even as he is holy. 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Stop looking over your shoulder at the world you're leaving behind and keep your focus on the author and the finisher of your faith. We need to remember that purity pleases God, and the more we keep ourselves in the world, the more we will experience the abundant life. Christ was pure. We need to remember his purity. Number four, remember his principles. Remember his principles. John 16:4 says, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. He's kind of telling what there's going to be some hard times are going to come, and for them to be prepared because he told them. So my point is here, he told them. The Lord tells us things so we're ready for the world. So we're ready to face what's coming at us. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. God's word is supposed to be of utmost importance. In Psalm 138, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And yet when Jesus was about to be crucified, he wanted to make sure they remembered why he came, why he bothered giving us his word so we would understand why he came. He wanted us to understand. He wants us to know his word. Remember his word. Remember who he is. Remember his principles. It's more than just remembering that he died for us. It's who it is that died for us. The one who's our provision, who's our all-powerful, the one who teaches us how to live successfully, victorious in Christian life. Number five, remember his promise. Remember his promise. Matthew 27:63. Now this was not his words. This was actually the words of his enemy. He says, sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Now, they didn't like that, but he remembered.
Luke 24:6, the angel said, "He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and turned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11, to all the rest." John 14:19, Jesus says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live." Listen, we need to remember that Jesus rose from the dead, which proves our sins are paid for and gone, and thus his resurrection justifies our entrance into heaven and into the presence of God. And it's a wonderful thing to remember his provision, his power, his purity, his principles, his promise, and even his presence that he promised for us to never leave us nor forsake us. But remember the promise of his return. Well, listen, when we take the Lord's Supper, we remember the end of his life on earth. But it's not the end of his life. In fact, it's the beginning of our life. The Lord's Supper, though it is solemn because of what he had to do, the Lord's Supper is victorious because what it accomplished. Remember that. You know, so I mean, listen, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a little church where we did the Lord's Supper every so often, and it was a ritual. And I've talked about this before. We had an altar rail around the platform, and it would hold about 20 to 22 people. And we would get a little group, and we'd bring that group over, and they would go through, and he would stand up there the days we would do communion, and he'd go through the whole thing. And then that group would get up and they'd go back and then he'd get the next group. And it'd be five or six groups. And they're sitting there watching them, waiting for your turn. And then after your turn, you sit there and watch them until they're done. And it lost the meaning. I hate to say it. It just lost it. We were going through the motions. All right, Jesus died. You all know that. I don't want it to be rote. I want it to be real. Finally, I want you to remember his purpose. Back where we started in 1 Corinthians 11. We remember that Jesus, all that Jesus is, and all that Jesus has done, and then we can fully appreciate all that he gave when he died on the cross for us. We need to keep Jesus in remembrance. All these nice things are good to be remembered, and we need to. And actually it has an impact when we realize that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 22:7. I'm going to read a passage here for you. Luke 22, verse number 7. It says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said to them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There, make ready. And they went, and they found as he had said unto them, and they made ready for the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. Remember. Recollect. Remember. That means to remember again and again and again. We need to remember his pain. His body was broken. By his stripes we are healed. His broken body allowed the blood to flow. Not to remember the pain, but remember his payment. The payment was the blood. Don't let anybody make little of the blood. For the life is in the blood. Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Romans 5:9, much more than now, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Ephesians 1:7, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. And when we remember who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us, we see the great sacrifice that was made for us. Listen, the Lord's Supper is not snack time. Church is not about a party, though we may fellowship together. And and we read that part. The problem is that the Corinthians got together and had a party. The excuse was the Lord's Supper, but it wasn't their purpose. Now, some don't like church because we spend too much time dwelling on the depressing topic of death in the blood. Many want church to be much more a time of activity, fellowship, food, sports, and social activities. When we allow that to happen, we have forgotten to remember why we are here. The only time Jesus recorded using the word remember or remembrance was right there in Luke 22. He's quoted at the same incident, remember. Listen, we can remember the provision of God in our banquets. We can remember the fellowship we have in him. We need to remember the sacrifice that was given for the remission of sin. Matthew 26 says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. There are two ordinances that Jesus asks us to participate. One's the Lord's Supper that helps us remember what Jesus did for us. Secondly, we have baptism that helps us remember that we have accepted what Jesus did for us. We need to remember what Jesus did. Listen, there's nothing wrong with Jesus asking us to remember what he did for us. There's going to come a day when you're going to want to remember. You're going to need to remember. When all things go sour, when you're persecuted for being a Christian, remember. Don't forget. I remember years ago, someone important in my life. Not my wife. She's important, but that's what I'm talking about. I had gotten saved, and we were having a discussion, and I guess I had a lot of preaching even then, and I wasn't yelling. And he said, "Why are you angry?" I'm not angry. I'm wound up. And they said, the person said, "Well, you just got saved. That'll all calm down. That'll calm down." And I thought,
I sure hope not.
You know, if we get to, if we come to the table of the Lord's Supper, and it doesn't bring back to our remembrance how great God is, how merciful God is, how He provides for us, how He tells us how to live our life so we can have victory. We remember what He's done. We remember the power He gives us in life. If we forget about who it was that died for us, it really has not accomplished. And if we're not careful, we'll get too big for our britches. Too big for our britches, and we'll forget that Jesus is the one. This is all about Jesus. And I wonder how many churches get so busy with good things that they have forgotten to remember Jesus. Oh, they use His name as an expression and an exclamation, sometimes actually in vain, but they've forgotten what Jesus did. While we're thinking about remembering, remember this. God remembers you. He hasn't forgotten.